Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to Help Me Be Me. I'm your host, Sarah Mae Bates. I'm a writer, director, mom, and a breakup coach with an MAMFT. And this podcast is kind of like a personal relationship in that I talk to you like you're my friend. I provide tools to help you feel more grounded, empowered, inspired, and most of all, help you see yourself. This is aimed at creating more harmony and happiness in the relationship you have with you, so you can better guide your life and also be better to those you love. Take what helps and leave the rest. This is not a diagnosis for treatment. If you're really struggling, call your local emergency services. Hi friends, it's me, Sarah Mae Bates. I am here to do an episode all about letting go of a smaller self. And it's really about growth and curation of balance in your life, but also shedding a chip that might be on your shoulder, like consciously growing out of something that is less positive, less secure, less loving, and just not identifying with that part of yourself anymore. And I think that we can do that just as an organic growing process, but just first we have to say, I want to do that. I want to work on that and just become aware of it in how it is present in our lives. I think a lot of the time those types of habits or perspectives are just kind of muscle memory. And at a certain point, you might not need it anymore. It's not serving you. It's not helping you. It's not keeping you safe like it used to. And we can actually say like, you know, I'm aware of this part of my personality and I'm going to let it go. I'm going to start practicing a new way of being. And when we start to see ourselves as not small, not trivial, instead strong and confident, we get into a new groove in our lives energetically. And this is where we can really grow our power and grow our ability to beam out love into the world. It's like we start to yes and energetically, and that is the place where we can be really truly powerful and effective and move others and connect to others in a different way. So this is an episode for kind of reorienting your energy and yourself toward that which expands you and really like conditioning yourself and your life toward a target. Like, how do I want to feel? How do I want to be known energetically by others? Like when other people think of you and think of being around you, what is it you embody in their mind's eye? And also, what do I want to bring forth in my life experience? Because we're always in motion. It's like you really got to be deliberate about what you look at and where you're headed. And so I'm going to be asking you questions throughout this episode that focus on that. I think of our actions and our intentions as echoes. So let's just begin to filter that as we move through the end of this year. Like, what are the intentions and actions going to create outwards around us in this experience, in this set of memories that is yet to come? So before I go on, I just wanted to ask you, we all have these little wounded selves who cling to things and hide in certain areas or keep us small in certain ways for reasons of self-preservation that we picked up at a very young age. And I just want to ask you, what wounded self is coming to mind for you? If that question doesn't ring any bells, if it feels too obtuse, don't worry. I think this episode will still make sense. I'm going to offer up mine in case it helps. I have been working a lot on lack perspective. I would say for like the last 5 years, very consciously working on it. I had a really, I would call it severe scarcity mindset. I didn't even notice how big it was in my identity until I would say the last year, 10 years of my life. But over my life, the course of my life, I can now see it in like storage bins in my basement. I'm like, oh wow, this is weird. I can see it manifested in just like the things, the habits I had. I used to like save, you know, a single post-it note that was not written on just in case I was going to use it. I'm like, I can't throw that away. I'm going to use that later. But I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's good. You know, we don't want to create extra waste. But at the end of the day, like all of that every day in all shapes and forms was a little bit dysfunctional. Like I would like save all wrapping paper from every present I open and I would reuse it the next year. And I still do that. I'm not going to stop that habit. But I mean, apply that set of habits to all things in your life. And what happens is like, I was very much guided throughout all experiences by this feeling, this energetic feeling of there's not enough. I can't let go of this thing. I'm not going to have this thing in the future, or I can't throw this thing away, or there's not enough. That's like the overwhelming belief. So slowly having processed that or become aware of it and really trying to teach myself into the opposite perspective. And I'm not saying that I'm like, throw everything away. Woo! It's not that. It's way more about unclenching some part of you that feels like you can't let go. It's like a fear. That's at its core. It's like some muscle or some part of you energetically is clenched in fear. And the fear is old, and it's also a little bit impractical, unrealistic, not helpful, blinding, all of those things. So I just want to ask you again, is there a wounded self that is operating in your life that is keeping you back in some way currently? Like what's coming to mind? Another one is being a hater. I think a lot of the time when we're like really, really jealous or dismissive of others, judgy of others, what that really is super intense vulnerability heading directly toward us. So we're like, I feel so fragile. I feel so tentative about my identity. This is how I'm controlling it. This is the muscle that is controlling that sense in my body. So that's my first question for you. And now I'm going to go into the rest of the episode. This has two parts. It's not the normal three-parter. This has a what and a how, the tools. So first part, the what. Coming into the energetic identity of presence, love, excitement. And I hope you know what I mean by energetic identity. Like if you think about when somebody you're cohabitating with is angry and you can feel it, it's like they walk into the room and it's like it's an actual feeling. It's like there are waves that are affecting you. It's in the stillness. It's in the delivery of volume of their voice. It's in the tone. It's in their body language. It's in all things. It's like it is energy. And when we are conversely in the energy of openness, excitement, optimism, that allows things to flow in all directions. It is the most powerful energy to be in. So we have to, I think, kind of condition ourselves to be there and consciously choose to step back from parts of ourselves that can get stuck in like those blips of reactivity. I think of it as being underfoot or feeling put upon or feeling threatened or wounded. It's like when your brain starts to fixate on a source of threat and can't seem to put it away. And oftentimes I think those sources of threat are things that you're like, why do I care about this thing? Why is this thing haunting me? I shouldn't care about this. I don't want to care about it. Those are those things that I want to work on specifically. I want to recap this metaphor I've used in the past. I think of it as there are three floors to our energetic selves. There's the ground level, and then there's a basement floor, and then there's a one floor up. And for me, the goal is to always be on the ground floor. So if you think about yourself and how you feel about yourself as like when I'm on the ground floor, I can connect to other people. I feel close to other people. I feel open and receptive to other people. I feel equal to them. And I can also connect to them on an emotional level. I can be vulnerable with them. I can feel their pain. They can see me be in pain. When we get to the basement or one ground below, This is when we put them above us. We put other people above us. We think, I am so lesser. I am just a loser. We are separating from others because we are feeling, this is like what I would call our way of controlling threat. Is like we control anxiety, we control threat by ranking ourselves lower, putting ourselves lower. So this is when your brain will kind of flip to, well, I can't do that. I'm just a fucking idiot. I'm not like them. They're way up here. This is like when we're below ourselves. That's our brain making it logical for us to feel this way. We're controlling it. Conversely, being on the top floor is also a way of separating from others. This is when we're looking down on other people and feeling like, you don't get it. I am better than you. And this is also a way to control and feel like we're defining the structure of reality. So it's like we separate from other people, we categorize ourselves as better than and more deserving or more important. And I think the goal is to always be on the ground floor where we are equally human. And this is where we can feel close, connected, empowered, and we can welcome things into our being and not resist them. And then we can allow things to change us, and we can allow things to inspire us, and we can feel moved by things without those things defining us. So I think this is my metaphor as I talk about just what I would call a primitive energy or a fear-based energy like jealousy. I realized this recently with so my daughter is going through a daddy phase and really just wants to be with my husband over me. And I feel like there was a primitive part of myself that came up for a blip that was trying to control that and be I'm going to win you over and try and regain the attention. And then I noticed it and I was like, oh, that's not helpful. There's nothing lost. I lose nothing when other people are happy and successful. And there's no lack of love in this world. There's no lack of success in this world. I'm using that situation as a metaphor for jealousy at large in the world. If we can remember oh no, this isn't taking anything away from me. That for me to control that and want it to be forced into my direction is to create a dysfunction. When I step back and allow all love to flow, there's plenty to go around. When we can reinforce and curate that sense in ourselves as we move through the world, it's like the energy becomes instead all about me and my vice or my chip. It turns into all about us. And that is the difference. That difference is kind of everything. When things are coming from you, inside of you, a place of love for all, love for us, what's best for us, it's very powerful. You grow more powerful. It's not as much coming from this reductive, fear-based neediness. And instead, it's just like you just open channels in your own life. Lack and scarcity are painful coats that they blind us in a lot of ways and reduce our ability to beam out pure love and also just feel powerful and fully embodied. And I think of love and power as synonymous in some ways because it's just like another way of saying like being an open channel. So with that, here are some tools for tuning your energy in this very specific way and letting go of something that's keeping you back. Before I go into the tools, though, first, a brief word from our sponsors. Okay, the tools. Well, broadly, this is all about becoming conscious and aware of what you want to bring out in your life and in the end of your year, in your life in general, but also just like bringing that to the top of your hierarchy. And this is also about letting go of any chip on your shoulder, any feeling or area of lesser than that currently exists in your approach to your life. Or at the very least, maybe trying to put it down for a minute or two just to see if you actually need it, if it's really a part of you. All right, the first tool is called Energy Beam Tune. And I'm going to ask you a question. I just want you to react to it in just broad strokes. First thing that comes to your mind, What are you going to commit to with your love and your energy? Like, what are the most important things you want to bring forth in these last few months of the year? What's coming to mind? What are the biggest priorities that are creative, that are related to someone else in your life? What are values that you hold for yourself? What are you trying to curate more of in your day? Things like laughter, beauty, joy and love, inspiring people, feeling connected to others, having more time for yourself, feeling calm, feeling grounded, feeling serene, your kids, your building legacy, any of those types of things. I just want you to bring them to mind. That's the first tool. Second tool, what do you want me to know? So this is I want to call it a reflection exercise, maybe a mantra. The next time something hurts, next time something sticks with you like a threat, I want you to welcome it in and ask, what do you want me to know? So this could relate to jealousy over something professional, or it could relate to feeling slighted by someone, dissed by someone. Maybe it's a family member, the way they refer to you or treat you. Anything that you take personally that sticks on you and that you don't want to have bother you. And P.S., I will say that this is like exponentially exacerbated by not sleeping well. So if that sounds like, oh yeah, I don't sleep pretty much every night, that's probably the number one factor if this is ringing true for you. The real offering here is often those feelings, when we have them, they feel intolerable to us because they're like ego threats. And instead of resisting them and feeling like, get out of my head, get out of my head. Like if something's bugging you and it's waking you up at night, it's nudging you, making you feel tortured, you're replaying it, you're getting that doom and gloom feeling in your belly. Instead, I just want you to welcome the thought and see it as a gift in disguise. It's like a little troll just showed up on your doorstep, but they have a gift under their cloak. And yeah, this troll is totally scary and off-putting, but like, what's the gift? So let's just start there. Like, get off my porch. But wait, he's got something behind his back. What's that little gift in disguise? Like, and what I mean by that is like energetically, when you have the feeling, just relax into it, into that feeling of resistance. And second, ask, what are you here to tell me? Like, what is your gift? I think in general, whenever we have a feeling of like anger, frustration, pain, resistance, the way to get through it and process and allow it through your body is just curiosity. Like ego threats in general, I think enlighten us to secret longings. And those longings are very human. They're often very sweet and beautiful. And they're just moments where we really need to acknowledge the little kid feeling and hold ourselves and love ourselves in the face of it. So two totally disparate examples. One might be like a coworker is like getting tons and tons of success. And maybe in your reaction to that, there's this feeling of like wanting to rationalize why they don't deserve it, or wanting to say that it's not something you even wanted, or I don't know, there's like this, all these processes we go through to kind of control the threat in our ego in those types of situations. Instead, if we were to welcome it in and say, what is this feeling here to teach me? What's it gifting me? The gift is like, an insight. There's something in me that has a goal. Like I can choose to instead own that goal of like, I want to really invest in my path toward said success or something like that. Martha Beck, the name I was trying to remember in a previous episode, one of her quotes that I love is, anger is the immune system of the soul. And so it is kind of when we have a sense of anger, it's some part of us is trying to like bite it off or trying to like get it out of our body. It's like a self-protective response. But there's always a soft underbelly. And that underbelly is like something that we can really just hold ourselves in. And like it's an invitation for us to become aware of a feeling and just give ourselves a mental hug. It's not about dwelling and saying, I can't deal with this thing. It's just about like objectively witnessing it as just a thing that's happening. We're like not identifying with the story of what the pain means. We're just becoming that silent watcher of mindfulness and noticing it. Like, oh, that's what this is. Okay. It's like it's neutral information. I want to give a totally opposite example of that feeling of threat or that feeling of less than. I was out with clients one night and like everybody was being so funny. And I'm just like, I'm just a boring mom. I got no cool stories. Like I was like off my game and my comedy timing. And I let that story just narrate everybody else's actions because energetically I was allowing it to take over my POV. And I think in that moment, what I can do, what I invite you to do, if this happens for you, is to step back and completely just notice that feeling and just acknowledge it. Say like, oh, I'm having that thing. It's almost like you're an animal in the wild observing that you're having a baby. I feel like whenever you watch animals giving birth, it's like, oh, it's they're going through this process of like extreme physical pain, but it's not like they're identified with it. It's like it's a natural process that's just occurring in their body. So anyway, when you can step back from the story of a thing that's happening, it's immediately over. And then it evaporates. And then you can see like, nope, the story did not exist for anyone else except for me. It was only happening in my head. And most of the time, the story is only happening in your head. Nobody else is seeing it. And we are the ones that perpetuate it and continue to tell it to ourselves and live inside it. And it's almost like we're teaching other people to see it too. So I'm asking you to step back from any of those stories, especially as we move into the holidays. Because I think the holidays are very triggering. They're a difficult time for a lot of people because they are a very specific set of markers. So they have this ability to record memory and bring up old memories because of just how many markers there are. And there are so many settings that will bring up old feelings, old dynamics, any old rhythms. So if any time that there is like a forced setting with a lot of family that we don't often see, it can feel like you're returned to a bunch of other head movies that you have let go of. When it comes to familial wounds that get under your skin and cause you to like stew, I just want you to apply that same narrative. What is this here to teach me or gift me? And oftentimes it's an opportunity to just observe it and say, be interested and like curious about it. Like, oh, that thing is happening. What can I do to help myself? I think I need to take a walk. I think I need a breath of fresh air. I think I need to ground physically, or sometimes that's an opportunity to reset. Like I need to go reset to my present day self. I think the goal, I mean, if it could just be even this simple of a goal, is to not invest in the storyline that might be triggered. If you're in a family situation that is like legitimately terrible and should not be tolerated, I'm not encouraging you to stay in it and like tolerate it more. In this example, I think what the gift could be is remembering you are allowed to honor yourself and enforce boundaries that are new and remove yourself from a situation. When we can treat ourselves like we would like to be treated by others, or when we can treat ourselves like a person who's courting you would treat you, you feel valuable, and that manifests in a feeling of mental health and confidence. So just remember, you are the gatekeeper to your being, and you control everything in your life just by how you treat yourself and what you allow in and what you do not allow in to your psyche. Kind of a wandering tool there. I got on a tangent, but anyway, next tool is a mantra. This is for, I think, judginess. If you are a person who suffers from judginess, I'm trying very hard to notice and let go of my judginess, because I just know how much it's hurting me and I don't want it in my energy. I don't want it in my body. I don't want it in my being. I don't want it in the world. So I offer this to you if you can relate to that. The mantra is, I'm a lover, not a hater. If you get sucked into a negative narrative, a jealous narrative, a judgy narrative, just come back to this. I'm a lover, not a hater. You are, truly. Just know that. Like, don't hate yourself for having envy or shame or looking down. Like, if you've gotten to that top floor of the building or whatever, don't be mad at yourself, but just notice it and then allow that feeling to hand you the present. Like, what's the present? What's the gift? It's here to show us where we need to acknowledge, like, oh, I was feeling a little threatened. Like, oh, I'm feeling a little insecure. Oh, okay, that happened, and now it's over. I can come back to a feeling of trust and wholeness and remember, like, no, I don't hate people. I love people. I am a lover. Okay, next tool. What definition is no longer serving me? This is an exercise or an experiment to energetically try on. And I'm going to offer this, and I don't want you to feel like you have to do this if it does not feel safe to do this or if it feels like it's compromising you in any way. I think in general, I'm not talking about, like, you know, opening up a gate that should be shut. But, like, in general, just know all people are changing all the time. And all people are reacting to feedback and digesting feedback and attempting to grow into new areas all the time. Everybody. Everyone's changing and growing in all sorts of directions that we might not be aware of. So this tool is just to give you this new lens on family or others in your life that you might be interacting with in the coming months. And just to remind yourself, maybe I don't have to see things the same way. Maybe I don't have to expect things to be the same. A lot of the time, family, this happens to us, but we do it to other people too. It's like family will reinforce old definitions. And it makes it really difficult sometimes to be in old relationships because these loops, these grooves are so strong. It's like people can't stop expecting and reinforcing the old. So I just wanted to ask you to try this on for yourself. Maybe in a journal. What definitions of yourself, but also of others, are no longer serving you? Like, what definitions or what perceptions of other people are reinforcing negativity and pain in your life and in your relationships? And I just wanted to invite that into your consciousness, because I think when we have beliefs based on old experiences that just bring more shame and pain to our loved ones, but also put us into roles that we don't enjoy. Like, we become police officers, or we become, I don't know, judges, whatever it is. Like, I think we create and exacerbate already existing imbalances of relationships because we're kind of like pushing on them sideways. It's like they're not allowed to just grow upwards. We're like reminding them to stay broken in some ways. So I've just personally been playing around with this in my own life, like just asking myself, like, what if I just put down this perspective that this person in my life is not trustworthy or that they need to be taught what they need to do? And what if I instead decided to see them as trying their best? Like, what does that change? How does it change my life? How does it change my habits? How does it change the energy of our relationship? So I will say, if you are changing just the intention, it can be a weird shift in just the energy in the room. That's it. It's like you don't even have to change everything. You can just change the simple intention of how I want to be around this person, and it can change everything. It can be super subtle. All right, next tool. Stay in the energy of passion and joy. So I feel like this is just like a kind of a no-duh kind of tool, but like when you start to get distracted by, as soon as you start to go into that narrative of like what I don't have, what other people have that I don't, what I should be doing, what they have that makes me feel lesser than, just remember yourself like, oh yeah, I am actually now, instead of putting my target up high where I want to go, I'm putting it on the ground behind me. You have changed the course of your actions to be reverse. So just as soon as you start to go there, just remind yourself like, no, what do I want? I have to get back to that energy. What do I want? What is the energy I am fostering and creating? You are co-creating your world with the energy and presence you bring to today and to right now. And I want you to be very conscious and deliberate about like what your actions, what your intentions, what you are focusing on is creating around you. Everything is an echo. Like, what are you creating outwards? Okay, that was that tool. The next tool is called My Future Made It Moment. These are really fun ones. I like to do these. I think you need to update them as you grow through your life, but like just we're all heading towards something all the time. We're in very fast motion. We're moving through our life so quickly, and it's really easy to get stuck in the limits of a mood or the frustrations of a set of circumstances. And I want you to like maybe when you're going to sleep tonight, when you're feeling good or rested, just like just play a head movie out, a moment in the future that's symptomatic of I made it. I made it in this very specific way. This is a moment I am experiencing because I arrived in some specific way to you. Think of the setting. Think of what it sounds like. Think of who's there. Think of what you're wearing. How do you feel? Who's around you? All of that. It's just a fun thing to continuously do. And they will change. You'll grow out of some of them and then you'll pick up new ones. Okay, next tool. How do I jump the blue? So I wanted to offer this up. If you are a person who gets a case of the blues now and again, no judgment about that. I wanted to throw this out. Like if that happens, the moment it starts to happen, you're starting to dip into that feeling of ho-hum, like sadness, depression. There's like some like channel that's been changed in your psyche. The moment that happens, we start to tell the story of the feeling. Like our brain is like, oh, it's because we start to like rationalize why that's a appropriate way to feel and tell a very long story about it. And that's when we are actually choosing to invest in it continuing. As soon as you start to like dive into that story, and the story will feel almost like good. It almost feels like masturbatory. It's like, yeah, I really have it hard. Like I should really be sad about this because I've had all these things. As soon as you start narrating it, it's like we're in a classroom. We have an evil substitute teacher that's dressed in blue and they look like they were generated in Midjourney. They're like a monster, like melting. That's what I want you to think of. Like that person is starting to give you this writing assignment and about everything that is wrong with today. As soon as that happens, like the teacher's evil, get the fuck out of your chair and run. Like really what your goal is to completely disrupt the chain of thinking and resume a memory of before that, an energetic memory of the reality you lived in before that story began. It's like you have to constantly redirect away and away and away, almost like, I don't know if you have toddlers in your life, but like if a toddler's really upset about something, you have to be like, look over here. Oh my God, did you hear this story? This is so cool. It's like you kind of have to do that with your brain again and again and again. And then eventually it goes away. The memory of the feeling, the less time you spend in it, the quicker it goes away. All right, the next tool is called, what energy is my thinking resulting from? Sometimes when we are in stress, anxiety, and annoyance, we're feeling underfoot, we're feeling on the back foot, all we can see are limits. Like everything is reduced and everything feels like I can predict the future and I know exactly what's coming. I know all of the circumstances and what they will become. That as soon as you have that kind of thinking of like, all I see are limits, all I see are I have this wall in front of me, that is a sign that you are energetically compromised. And that thinking is coming from the lack of energy itself. And I just want you to notice it. Notice that voice as, oh, I haven't eaten enough today. Oh, I'm having some hormonal changes right now. Oh, it's because I haven't slept. Oh, it's because I've had such a stressful week. That's what the thing is. It's not reality. And so just know that it takes one sliding door, one interaction, one moment, one factor, one random thing you didn't expect to change your entire life. That is true at all times. It's true of all your goals. It's true of every significant thing in your life. It can happen instantly. That is always possible. All potential exists because you cannot predict the future, and there is so much happening around you, outside of you, that you do not know. So never forget that and stay focused on what it is you want and what needs your immediate attention. Just, I want you to remember that whenever you feel like there is no hope or the world is so small, that is just the energy of talking. You need to help your energy. All right, next tool, flip the coin. So at the end of my podcast, every single podcast, I say, don't forget to smile. And that is really a way of saying, don't forget to be grateful, because there are always two sides to an experience. Like, there's the lucky version of that experience that makes you feel empowered, that makes you feel hopeful. And there's an opposite side that makes you feel like a victim, that makes you feel put upon. So if you catch yourself going, like, defaulting to that negative interpretation, flip it. You want to ask, like, can I flip it to I get to do blank, or can I flip it to maybe this is actually a gift because it's helping me get to fill in the blank future scenario? Like, everything has two different interpretations, and they are all true. And the only difference is, like, what is the story? What is the experience you want to invite forth in your life? Like, what is the way you view your life experience? And we get to have a say in that. Like, we can be deliberate in that process. And an alt version of this tool is a mantra. I invite an opposite perspective to come forth. Like, just the same thing as, like, seeing the gift. Like, is this actually a positive thing? So if you feel like you're getting into that reductive state, like you're feeling small, you're feeling not good enough, you're feeling being left out, ask, like, just, I invite the opposite to be true. I invite something I cannot see to come forth. Or what am I not seeing currently? It's really just a step back into neutrality. I welcome all outcomes. All of these practices are super powerful. And they just remind us not to script out negative realities. That's all it is. It's nothing, like, crazy. It's just a reminder, like, you're creating the head movie. Step back. Okay, the next tool is called take full credit. This is a fun journaling exercise. If this feels like tedious and not fun, don't do it. I enjoy this on occasion. I just want you to write a list of all of the things you achieved in your week and all of the things you achieved in your month. And these are just, like, big bullets. The reason being, when you experience it yourself and you move through it, you kind of take it for granted and you're just like, yeah, but, you know, whatever, who cares? That's me. And when you look at it, if you can look at it and, like, maybe even share that with somebody else, you'll be like, holy shit, I did a lot of stuff. I did more than I gave myself credit for as I moved through this month. All right, and the next tool, another mantra. I have so many in this episode. Show me the path. This is just mine right now. I invite you to have it as well. Just show, it's a way to remind yourself to welcome into your life, like, whatever goal it is you've set or whatever you want to foster more of in your life. Show me the path to be proud of myself. Show me the path to be more full of love. Show me the path to feel calm and serene, whatever it is. It's just like a gentle invitation. Okay. The next tool is called look at you from the end of your life. This might weird you out, but I believe that we experience time in our life, but that time does not exist. And therefore, based on this belief, everything already exists. Everything is happening in now. So If you were to talk to your future self, the end of their life, this is the thought exercise. What would they already know about you now? Like, what would that person gift you if you could have a conversation with, like, let's say you could ask them any question, any answer you want to know about the future, about what's to come, about whether or not you're going to get to XYZ. What does that future you tell you? It's a pretty fun exercise. I think you might hear some weird stuff where you'll be like, oh, whoa, I already knew that. I knew I was going to be blank. I knew I was going to get to blank. I knew I was going to achieve blank. Let it be a comforting process. And if it's not comforting, don't do it and stop the exercise altogether. I think it will be fun and kind of cool though. Okay, great. The next tool is growth equals greater. This is just a reminder to know that, like, when we expand, when we try new things, we are greater. We are bigger people. When we are vulnerable, when we can put ourselves out there, we are bigger people. When we are constricted, we are controllers. Like, perfectionism is something that reduces you to only what you know. And you just get safer and safer, and we don't allow things to change us. It actually makes you a lesser person over time because you are not challenging yourself and you're not allowing other things in to teach you. So if you are a person that, like, feels like you can't be wrong or you don't like being bad at something, just plug that into your mind that, like, I'm actually becoming a weaker everything in that value. So it's like something to teach yourself out of just over time. Okay, and this last tool is called Let's Curate the End of This Year. So I just wanted you to journal on this idea. Like, now that we're heading toward the end of the year, this is a time for, I would call it, really building roots, investing in legacy, recapping, kind of taking stock, having a sense of gratitude and honor. That, at least that's what it is for me. It can be totally different for you, no judgment. But I just want you to think about the themes you want to bring to the forefront of your consciousness. And I say that because this is kind of a perfect increment of time to allow themes to come forth. Like, they can and will manifest into existence, and you will savor them if you are selective about them now. So just be clear about what it is, like, what are the values you want to have be prominent during this time. Like, it's getting colder, the fall is coming, this is a time for regeneration and just hibernation somewhat. So for me, that's just like, I really want it to be a joyful quality time, family, food, cooking, creativity, magical nature, sweetness, family, all that stuff. So, like, what are, just journal about it, like, what am I gonna make important during this time? Otherwise, it's so easy to just be scheduled into other people's lives. It's like, we can so easily just get swept into everybody else's priorities. So I want you to make sure you're being conscious about what's important to you and really reducing enough so that you can have that and have your own personally curated experience. So those are my tools, and I hope that they are helpful. I hope you are taking time for yourself and enjoying all that this season brings. And before I close, I want to thank my latest sponsors. Thank you so much for your donations. It's so appreciated. I don't know if I'm saying your name right. I hope I am. Thank you so much for your donation. Vibeka, I hope I said your name right as well. Thank you so much for your donation. So appreciated. Anyone who has the means, donations really help out the show. You can head to yaywithme.com and click donate, or you can visit my page on Patreon. If you don't have the means, I totally understand. If you could leave a review on iTunes, it helps me as well. So in closing, the product of our lives in its entirety, they are always the result of just conscious course correction. And there is not like a moment where we solve it. We're not like done. It's always just like these little tiny nuanced, I'm moving my body in this direction, and now I've moved it too far that way, now I'm moving it in this direction. It's just really about being aware and noticing, like, I need to put energy this way now. This is now important to me. I need to focus on this. That's what we're all doing. We're doing it together. And I think you get better at it as you get older. So if you're struggling and you feel like this is hard, like I think it gets easier with time. So with that, I send you my love, and don't forget to smile.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.